Welcome to Base Camp for Men. I'm your host, Tony Rizak. This is a show that gives you insights and resources on how to live a more courageous life. We'll be looking at men, the current state of masculinity, and how to create a more inspiring narrative for all men. Welcome, and let's get started. Hello, Base Campers. I hope you're all doing well. As many of you know, I had a great time attending Charlie Kirk's America Fest in Phoenix this past December. It was so inspiring and uplifting that I plan on going again this year. And one of the things that jumped out at me was just how many young conservatives and libertarians were in the audience. All these college and high school age students, Charlie puts them right up front as these young men and women are our future. And to me, it was really amazing to see and talk with them as their values and principles run counter to what I see in the public schools here in Seattle. Seattle area schools are a mess with their obsession with all things woke, transgender ideology for primary school students, endless pronouns meant to confuse and further divide, no real American civics, no mention of the Constitution or Bill of Rights. How many young people coming out of public school right now can even describe the Revolutionary War or the creation of our nation with the Declaration of Independence or why the Civil War was fought? I am not convinced high school seniors down the street can accurately describe any of this. And it's not their fault. They just aren't being taught this stuff. How can a generation feel dignity and pride in their great nation when everything taught in government schools slanders and demeans its young citizens about who we are as a nation and as a people? We've come a long ways in just a few short decades. When I was in high school 40 years ago, the whole nation was patriotic. Do you remember that? Yep. Democrats and Republicans alike. It's hard to imagine today, isn't it? Ronald Reagan was president and carried every state but two. America was experiencing a renewal back in the 80s, and damn near everyone you spoke with was proud to be an American and all knew what an exceptional nation we lived in. And when you spoke with new immigrants here, they were excited and grateful to be given a chance to live in the land of opportunity. So many of them embodied the American dream, where future generations did better than their predecessors. What will happen to our nation if we don't turn around education? At this point, it may be best just to dismantle public schools and their unions and start from the ground up. They've been captured by Marxist communists pushing a radical woke curriculum on the unsuspecting students and their parents. And when you understand it, it's pretty gross. Education, in my view, is too far gone. At this point, the students are better off not attending these government indoctrination camps. They'll come out smarter than all the woke kids who insist that there's no such thing as a man, no such thing as a woman. And most parents instinctively know this. Public schools no longer teach anything useful to the students. It's basically a crappy babysitter where you get to see your friends a bit. And if parents really knew how bad it was, they'd get them out of there ASAP. Seriously. I may have shared this with you already, I don't remember, but to illustrate this, I had coffee with a friend not too long ago, and he described what his son was doing in public high school. He had one book report his junior year, and get this, it could be on a graphic novel. Are you kidding me? One book report for the whole year, and it can be on a comic book. Oy vey. You want to know a good way to dumb kids down? Don't have them read or write or teach them anything useful. Add to that no actual American civics, and you have a whole generation who can't navigate, critically think, or add anything value to society. Thankfully, parents are waking up and pushing back, and there's a sense of urgency with this, as we have future generations who are counting on us to turn the ship around. I don't get a chance to speak with college students very often, so this was a special treat for me. Let's go connect with our guest today, a young man stepping into his leadership at Liberty University. Enjoy the interview. Today's episode is brought to you by Stand Up Now Apparel. Stand Up Now has amazing designs centered on God, family, freedom, and patriotism. They use only the softest cotton in their designs and have gear for the whole family. There's something for everyone, Base Campers. I know you're going to love their products. Go support them at www.standupnowapparel.com and use the code BASECAMP to receive a 10% discount and free shipping. And now, on to our interview. My guest today is Connor McFarland. Connor is the National Development Director for College Republicans of America and is studying business administration with a focus on entrepreneurship at Liberty University. He's focused on expanding the organization and connecting with conservatives across the country. Here is my interview with Connor McFarland. All right, I'm here with Connor McFarland, young Republican and conservative patriot Connor McFarland. Connor, welcome to Base Camp for Men. It is great to have you on the show.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. You know, you and I met at America Fest. I was down there in December and we connected. And one of the things I was really struck about down there. It was Charlie Kirk's conference, and there was just a who's who down there of conservative and libertarian and patriot voices, Christian voices. And I just, one of the things that so inspired me, not just the speakers, but how Charlie had all the young people kind of around the stage in these big sections. And I saw so many of them roaming around the conference, and it just gave me so much optimism and hope that there's this growing group of young people that have their heads screwed on straight. And then you and I bumped into each other and we got to chatting, and I wanted to have you on the show and just and find out what the young people are discovering right now, what their concerns are. So I guess my first question is, like, what was your big takeaway from America Fest? Like, what did you get out of it when you came home and reflected on what you got out of it? And also, who were the speakers that you really resonated with, that you were really excited about hearing?
Well, it gives me hope, Tony. And the reason why it gives me hope is seeing all these young conservatives that are dedicated to the MAGA movement and who are dedicated to conservative movement. Mm-hmm. It certainly gives me some sort of relief that we're starting to move in the right direction as a party.
Yeah,
a lot of young people are starting to get more involved in politics. We're seeing this with 51% of males becoming conservative.
Mm-hmm.
So we're seeing a little trend here where a lot of more younger people are starting to lean more conservative. But I think the biggest takeaway from the conference, speakers-wise, I think Vivek did a phenomenal job. He always does a phenomenal job connecting with young people.
Yep.
During his presidential campaign, he emphasized a lot about young people. He had a whole youth campaign going on behind him that was phenomenally run. And his values speak to the values that matter to a lot of young people. Now, speaking to tons of college Republicans, the number one issue to them is immigration. And that's why a lot of young people are supporting people like President Trump or supporting people like Vivek. They think that they are speaking to the values and issues that matter to them. And that's why, you know, we're starting to see a swing in Gen Z starting to become more conservative. And I think that events like America Fest, where we can get millennials and Gen Z people, are critically important, not only for the Republican Party, but for the country as a whole.
Absolutely. Yeah, I love Vivek. I love everything about him. I hope Trump picks him as a vice president, actually. I don't know if that's
going to happen. I hope so, too.
I think it would be a really smart move. He's just such a warrior, and he's a lot younger, and I think we need to get some young people in leadership roles. It can't just be Trump. We need to get that next generation and the one after, and he's just so, you know, one of the things I was struck about, because he was one of my favorite speakers of the conference, is he can hear, you know, Trump's not always really good at this. Trump just, he's a straight fighter, so if anybody challenges him, he's not always going to be very gracious. One of the things that I love about Vivek is if somebody's saying, hey, I don't agree with that, he will stop the presses and give the person ample room to unpack their opposition to his ideas. And I think that's a really gracious part of the reason that Trump sometimes does not speak to the middle of the party is because they see him as a brash street fighter who is unnecessarily mean, right? And I think Vivek has just as much fire as Donald Trump, but he also has this touch of grace where if somebody's like, I don't agree with that at all, I think you're, you know, foolish to think dot, 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 Vivek will let them speak out and then he'll present his point of view still, but he, the other person doesn't feel so trampled upon. Does that make sense?
Yeah, well, Tony, I think the other thing you have to think about is while Trump is defending one thing, Vivek can defend another and have his back.
Right.
So you sort of have that advantage as well.
Yes.
And I don't think many people are thinking about that. I think they're thinking more establishment candidates right now, but they're not looking at the practical and realistic side of things on how people will perceive of you.
Right, right. Exactly right. Hey, I wanted to ask you, where do you get your news? Like, how do you triangulate the news? Do you watch Fox? Do you go over to CNN to see what the left's saying? Do you, you know, where do you kind of find yourself looking to find out, hey, what's happening today or what's happening this week that I need to know about so I'm informed?
Yeah, I mean, I do a couple of things. Independent media has become a very big thing, especially on X. You know, you're seeing O'Keefe Media Group,
Oh, yeah.
Seeing Tucker Carlson Network. Those have definitely had an influence on journalism and media in general. But I also look at various regular news sources. I look at Fox News. I do look at CNN every once in a while. I do get notifications on my phone from CNN. I think a lot of people are starting to rely more on independent media because then they can make their own decisions. I mean, I wish we could go back to the 60s, 70s, and 80s when we had the Walter Cronkites of the era. We don't have that anymore in this country. So what we have to do is in order to be objective, we have to go back and start looking at independent media, finding out the facts for ourselves, and then making a determination as what's truthful, what's not truthful, how biased something is. And honestly, a lot of young people are starting to look at independent media. I mean, one of the media sources I look at is called Agenda Free TV. It's ran by a guy named Steve Luckner. He goes on YouTube. He specializes a lot on foreign policy, various domestic news, and he does a phenomenal job covering it in an unbiased light. And he does just a phenomenal job. He has a lot of dedication to his fans, a lot of dedication to the stream, and just making sure everything runs smooth.
That's great. You know, one of the criticisms of higher education, and I grew up in the generation where I grew up in a working class town, and parents, when I grew up, you just went to college because it meant you were going to have opportunities that weren't at the lumber mill, right? If you stayed in my town, there wasn't any, you could be a truck driver, you could work at the mill. There was a lot of working class opportunities, but the parents typically did not want those opportunities. They knew what that kind of life was like. So they sent kids, everybody, to college to get out of that kind of limited opportunities. But and then that kind of stayed true. College got super expensive. But one of the things that has really dawned on parents, especially the last, say, 5 years or so, is it used to be one thing to say, I'm going to send my kid to college. Oh, they became a liberal when liberalism, you know, it might not be in alignment with certain values of the right, but it wasn't as absurd. Like now, you have parents that want the best for their kids, but they don't want to send their kids to university because they're like, they're going to learn all the woke stuff. They're going to be exposed to all the transgendered stuff and the pronouns and the DEI. And it's changed so much that parents now are looking at like, is it really an opportunity or is the risk too much to my young person's mind to send them? Now you go to Liberty University, which is a conservative university. So I would imagine your education is minus a lot of the things I just said and has parts of the curriculum that would my son would not get if he went to, say, a state university. So I guess I just wanted to ask you, like, how is Liberty different? How is your education been different? But also, like, what advice would you give parents as they're staring at, you know, 95% of the higher education things out there? You start to look under the hood, like using Charlie Kirk's, he's got a Turning Point USA, and you can look at the score of these different universities. And a lot of them that you would be looking at are getting failing grades because it's just too much woke. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And I mean, Liberty University, they do a phenomenal job in trying to teach you objective truth. They try not to put any bias into it. They try to make it as fair as possible for everyone. And one of the things that strikes me about Liberty, and something that I have to do in every class, is I have to provide a biblical worldview for every single viewpoint that I have. So if I'm writing a paper on, let's say, entrepreneurship, let's say I'm writing up a business plan, I have to implement some sort of biblical worldview basis on that. And that's something that you will not find at almost any college. I bet you won't even find that at Grand Canyon University. I mean, to be frank, they're barely Christian.
Right.
But Liberty is at the pinnacle of higher education, and people just don't see it yet. You know, I think a lot of people that go to Liberty, a lot of them in the workforce, are phenomenal employees. They're trained really well, and they're very good people. That's what I've heard from my professors. They always tout that, you know, we get sponsorships and we get internships over students that are from Ivy League schools just because of how we present ourselves. Yeah. But ultimately, you have a better student body here at Liberty combined with how we do biblical worldview within our education. Mm-hmm. It's a strategy for success. And Liberty is just at the forefront of higher education in that regard.
Do you know, is Hillsdale has a stellar reputation. Is that also a biblical view or is that something different? I know they have a really great reputation as well. And many conservatives, if their kids are get good grades and are leaning into their development, they talk about that college quite a bit as well.
I'm not sure if they have a Christian view. I did an interview with Hillsdale back when I was applying, and they never suggested anything, you know, religious wise. Whereas when I applied to Liberty, they asked me questions about my faith. They asked me about, you know, my testimony and all those sorts of things.
Sure.
So I'm not 100% sure, but Hillsdale does have phenomenal free courses that you can take with regards to constitutional training, you know, defending your rights and all those sorts of things. So we actually do take some resources from Hillsdale as well. We actually when I was a government major, we used some of Hillsdale's curriculum in some of our classes.
What do you had mentioned to me when I spoke with you that it's super, this is kind of a personal question, but you said it was like super challenging in the hookup culture that's all over social media to zero in and kind of find a life partner, a wife, right? That you're, and I was struck with like how sincere, but also how far ahead you are in knowing what you want, right? Because I think our culture is kind of awash in what the left has done with social media, meaning there's hookup culture in every, I mean, doesn't matter what age you are. I see it in every platform. Doesn't matter if it's a platform designed for young people or one for people my age, just like evidence of the hookup culture and almost like what it's telling, what the culture is telling men like you, young men, is screw around a whole bunch, have a lot of, you know, promiscuous sex. Don't worry about settling down because that's not really important right now. Give yourself time to kind of grow out of your immaturity, and you got plenty of time for that. That's kind of the culture I grew up in, and it wasn't until I started having conversations with young conservatives that I realized, wow, how screwed up those values are, and that you're almost, Connor, meant to be seen as like somebody that's not cool because you're like, I don't really want to do all that stuff. I don't want to hook up with five different gals in the next couple of years. I really want to find the one that shares my value and wants to build something and have a family and start building our future, which seems really sensible and like hard on your sleeve and like kind of mature, frankly. I think the culture that I see young people in, it's gives them permission to just kind of screw off and not have to grow up for a very long time. And I didn't really notice it until recently when I started having conversations with people like you. And I was like, yeah, that is really messed up. But I just wanted to give you a chance to kind of comment on, I don't know, like maybe what you see. Is there social media that's growing up that's a counter to that, that's not all about that?
Well, I think the way that we judge people right now is unfortunately very simple. It's called swipe right and swipe left. You look at somebody's picture, you look at their profile, you read through it, and you choose, okay, I want to date this person, or no, I don't want to date this person. I think, you know, a lot of people have lost the art of going up and talking to people, introducing yourself to them. And social skills just in general have been on a decline for many, many years because of social media. Even for myself, you know, I definitely wasn't this extroverted maybe 3 or 4 years ago. It took more time for me to develop social skills, and especially, you know, with women. I mean, you know, it's very challenging for a man in today's society to find a wife because we're not developing the social skills that are needed in order to endure a proper, healthy, and God-leading relationship. And that's it's the sad reality, but I'm looking forward to a lot more Christian men that are willing to take a stand, that are willing to put in the effort, that are willing to improve their communication skills with women and, you know, sit down and have a wife.
Yeah. Yeah. You're going to get there. I mean, and you're already way ahead of where I was at your age. You know, I grew up with three brothers, so there wasn't any, I didn't have any sisters. I always thought that the guys that had sisters had a leg up, because for us, it was like women were these gorgeous, like they were just so intimidating, especially the ones that you were attracted to, you know, and you just did not have the verbal communication skills, nor the courage, frankly, at a young age to really rely on your conversation skills and your heart. I don't think, for me, I don't remember being that confident. And I always kidded my friends that had sisters. I'm like, you guys had it way easier. You saw that your sisters, your pretty sisters, were just normal people, and you teased them and you know, you did all the normal stuff. And so it's easy for you to talk to a girl because you had examples. You were always talking to girls. Me and my brothers never, you know. And so, but it does take time. I think that you get better at relating to the opposite sex as you mature. You are obviously on your way, and you realize that it's an important developmental skill to have, especially if you're looking to find a wife and somebody that you're going to be creating a life with. But you know, I wanted to ask you also, how you're feeling. Like, everybody's talking about, doesn't matter your political orientation, left, right, center, everybody's talking about what an epic year this is going to be. It's not just the presidential election. There's this sense that everything's kind of coming to a head. People have described it as a biblical war. People have described it as a spiritual war. Some people that really follow politics say it's, you know, it's really the globalists and their great reset, against we the people, standing in our pro-America freedom and our right to create the life that we want. All of these things seem to be on the table. And I guess I just wanted to ask you, like, are you optimistic about what's going on in 2024? Are we going to see Trump back? What does that mean for the nation? Like, where are we at? And also, I guess on the flip side, is there anything that you see that maybe concerns you the most? I think, I'll let you go and then I'll chime in with a couple things that I'm seeing. But, yeah, I just wanted to ask you, like, are we winning this? Are you confident in 2024? Where are we at? What do you see happening?
I'm very confident with President Trump. I mean,
yeah.
Just from, you know, working on campaigns for a while and, you know, noticing sort of little intricacies in here and there, mm-hmm. I've noticed that the Trump campaign in 2024 is better run than it was in 2020. And that's something that we need. Mm-hmm. I think Joe Biden is one of the least popular presidents in modern history. He's down to 38% approval rating.
Yep.
You know, presidents don't come back from that. He's failed on a lot of issues. He's failed on immigration. He likes to claim he's trying to fix the border, but the bill that just failed the Senate today wasn't really a border bill. It was a Ukraine bill. Mm. They spent, I think it's like triple or seven times or something like that on Ukraine rather than our own border.
Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah, it's a brutal fight. Spiritually as well, obviously it's a brutal fight. But the one thing that gives me optimism, and like I said earlier in this podcast, over 50% of males my age are starting to become conservative.
Yeah.
They're starting to become conservative. They're starting to go to churches, traditional masses. They're being drawn into that. And because they're being drawn into that, they're being drawn into a Christian culture. So ultimately, you know, I think as long as we can reach to the young women as well, mm-hmm. I think we can win this spiritual war. But ultimately, that takes a lot of trust and that takes a lot of time.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, I worry about all the, to be honest with you, Connor, like the thing that concerns me the most about kind of the legacy of this woke stuff is they're jamming it into the public schools all the way down to elementary schools. And I'm worried about the future generations of children. Like, how are they going to clean house in the education? Because, you know, it's all, I mean, you and I talked about this. How many pronouns did you say there was now that we have to know?
I think 70.
70 different pronouns. The transgender stuff, you know, and I look around. I live in a very liberal area of Seattle. You know, it is what it is. I just am here. This is where God wants me right now. But mm-hmm. I just look at what's going on in the schools. That's probably the thing that concerns me. I think Trump's going to win, and I think we're going to put this thing back on the right track in terms of the future of the country. The one thing that I glance over my shoulder at is the schools, the public schools. And I'm like, what in the heck are we going to do with that? Because they're not really teaching them traditional math anymore. They're teaching them Common Core, which isn't really what the engineers are using to build bridges and stuff. They're not teaching them to write. They don't do book reports. I talked to a buddy of mine who sends his kid to the public high school. And I said, you know, my son's in Christian school. You know, he has to do 4 or 5 book reports on classics. And he said, yeah, my son, we did 1 book report last year, and it could have been, you could choose a comic book. And I'm like, you gotta be kidding
me. Are you kidding me?
No. He said you could do it on a graphic novel or a comic book. I'm like, doesn't that concern you? And he kind of—
What year is your son?
My son's a junior.
A junior in high school, and they're having to write a book report about a comic book?
The ones in public school are. His buddies that we left behind in public schools, they did 1 book report, and it could have been on a comic book. And I'm like, how is that not alarming to you, to my friend? I go, your son's not learning to read or write. And he was kind of like, well, they're learning other things. I'm like, yeah, they're learning ideology. I go, that's why we took my son out. I did not like the ideology that they were teaching. I don't agree with all this trans stuff, and that all kids, you know, you should not have you shouldn't have so many kids wanting to change gender. That tells you something right there. That tells you that they're grooming, they're talking about it, I mean, it's a disaster. That really concerns me. I don't know if that could be fixed in a generation, in a 20-year span, where all of a sudden the schools are really good again. I don't know what your thoughts are on that, but, you know, I don't know. It seems like the schools aren't churning out critical thinkers or very smart individuals anymore.
No, but I mean, the thing about liberty is us implementing a biblical worldview mm-hmm. makes it easier for us to critical think. Because when you're implementing a biblical worldview, you have to critically think. And mm-hmm. I think a lot of universities and high schools and middle schools in general aren't teaching people to critically think. And now, I was lucky to go to a public charter school that was a classical mm-hmm. education. So I did learn to critically think. But I'm scared for a lot of the young people in this country that they aren't going to stand on their own 2 feet. Once they graduate college, they're not going to know how to do certain tasks. They're not going to know how to balance their finances. They're not going to know how to think for themselves. They're not going to know how to cook for themselves. And ultimately, they're not going to be able to afford living life. And it's frankly sad.
It is. Yeah. Yeah. Well, and it's like, that's going to be a lot of people. I mean, I know, you know, parents that go, okay, we're not going to send our kid down the street to the public school. We're going to send him over here to this Jesuit school, or maybe they go to this Christian school here, or this charter school. But that's a pretty small percentage of the kids. You know, the vast majority of kids, the parents, maybe they can't afford all that money for private school, you know, or maybe they're going to save up for a good college. So they're just going to bite the bullet and send him to public school. So there's a lot of kids, I think, that are exposed to this radical woke ideology and this trans ideology. And maybe if the parents really knew, they may just pull them out and homeschool them. I mean, I think if parents really knew what was going on at the public schools, I think there would be a lot more of an exodus out of there, and parents would just do whatever they could to try to put them in, you know, a better school where they're better educated, more critical thinking skills, like you said, maybe a Christian education if that's their bent. But they might not like this. I think it's a convenience thing too. I think a lot of parents are just, they don't know what to do with. If they pulled their kid out of public school, what would they do with them? Like, maybe they work a lot, both parents, and they're like, I can't be homeschooling. So it creates this conundrum where they leave them there because they're like, it's a little denial. We're like just hoping for the best. Hopefully they get it. The good outweighs the bad, even if they hear podcasts like this or other ones where they're like, yeah, I don't know. So anyways, my heart goes out to those parents that are in tough choices and they don't quite know what to do.
I do want to ask you this, though. Why do you think Governor Youngkin won the election, the governor election? What was his number one issue?
Who's that?
Governor Youngkin, the governor of Virginia.
Yeah, I don't, what did he say? Education?
He did say education. And education is the winning formula for the Republican Party, and they don't realize it. Oh. If we could carbon copy Governor Youngkin's model for the entire country, and copying parents' rights, you know, caring about the education of our children,
yep,
holding schools accountable for what they're teaching our kids, we'd be in a much better spot right now. Now we continue to fight this culture war. It would be a lot easier on all of us.
I agree. That's a really good point, Connor, because we're involved here in the Republican Party in the platform, and I see education on there, but I don't think they're highlighting it the way that you're talking about. And I do think it's a point that could, where you could really gain more of a traction rather than have it just bleed in with the other seven or eight things that you're talking about, to really bring that out in the front. I think it's got a lot of power. I like the way you're thinking about that.
Yeah. And I think a lot of people don't think about that. And a lot of the pundits, a lot of the establishment doesn't think about it. I think you have to have an outside mindset in order to see this issue.
Yeah, you're right. Well, Connor, thanks so much for coming on Basecamp for a Minute. I wanted to ask you too, if there's anything you want to mention about the work you're doing with the College Republicans of America, like what does that look like? Any shout out that you want to give to that? And what have you been up to, or what do you got coming up in the next, you know, year?
Yeah, I mean, I want to give a shout out to my great boss, Will Donahue. He's done a phenomenal job running College Republicans of America. We've been around since April of 2023. Mm-hmm. And we're already upwards of 130 chapters.
That's
so
great.
We've grown very significantly over a very short period of time, because we have one of the most dedicated and best teams in the country. You know, we love each other. We work really well with each other. The three things that we really care about is grassroots campaigning, conserving the environment, and connecting people in the workforce. So College Republicans is a very grassroots campaign. We love to be the builders. We love to volunteer for campaigns. We love to intern for campaigns. Campaigns rely on College Republicans to be able to get out the vote. Conservation, we have a project called Project Teddy Bear, where we're coming up and cleaning up beaches. We're cleaning up sidewalks. We're helping at soup kitchens and all those sorts of things. So we really emphasize community service. Other College Republican organizations have not emphasized community service. And the third thing is professional development. We're partnered with organizations like Project 2025, American Moment, the Heritage Foundation, because we realize once you're done with college, you should be able to get a job, and we should be there to help and support you. Mm-hmm. So we're building a resume pipeline to be able to make that happen. And we've been very successful in doing that with our partners.
That's beautiful. I love hearing that. Connor, thanks so much for coming on Basecamp. I'm super excited for your future. I just think you're going to be up to great things. I love that you're in the movement and you're in the MAGA movement and just helping the next generation of libertarians and conservatives and Christians kind of find their way, find their tribe, and really helping in this battle that we're facing right now for our nation. So thank you so much for coming on. Really appreciate it.
My pleasure, Tony.
Well, I hope you enjoyed our time with Connor as much as I did. Go get yourself some patriotic gear from our sponsor at Stand Up Now Apparel at www.standupnowapparel.com. You can use the code BASECAMP for 10% off and free shipping. Thank you, Basecampers, and we'll see you around the fire next week. If you find value in our show and wish to show us some love, we are now making that very easy to do. You simply go to www.basecampformen.com and click on Donate Support Basecamp. You'll find an easy way to make either monthly donations for as little as $5 a month, or you can donate just once. We love the monthly donation and hope to build this up over the coming months, but any show of support is greatly appreciated, honestly. Thank you for your support and for helping to keep Basecamp as a resource on your hero's journey. That's our show for today. Thank you for listening. Men, good luck in all your endeavors, and good luck on your hero's journey. This is Tony Rezac, and you're listening to Basecamp for Men.